1 2 1 2. Kaput, kaput.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. والصلاه والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم انهم فتيه امنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى صدق الله العظيم all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon his most beloved nabi our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings that He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah ta'ala to continuously give us the opportunity of making shukr and for acknowledging all those beautiful bounties that He has granted us. And speaking of bounties, one very, very great gift and bounty that Allah has granted all of us here is that He let us pass through the phase of youth. Youthfulness. So everything, every phase is alhamdulillah a bounty. But one of those phases is that one where a person, mashallah, is at the peak of all his activities and the peak of all his energies, if you want to call it. And that is such an important period in a person's life, as well as such a valuable asset to have in a community and in a society, that if we can, or the youth can, realize their potential, then it can take that community very, very far. It is like a mine, untapped mine, that has got all the valuable ore, the valuable minerals, and whatever else is found in valuable terms under the ground. That is what the youth are. Or they are, maybe we can say like, you know, like a rock that is lying there, waiting to be fashioned and turned into something. If it is just left there, it will remain a rock. And if it is brought in and it is worked upon, it can be transformed into a most beautiful piece of architecture or some other impressive feature. So that is an example we need to give, or we give with regard to the asset and the gift of youth, for the youth himself to realize what a great gift he has got to be passing through youthfulness, and for a community to know that when they have got youth, then that youth needs to be motivated and directed, guided. The energies need to be channeled in a manner that it is for the betterment of the youth, his family, the community, and the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and humanity at large, even going beyond that, my respected friends and brothers. So we ask ourselves that when does this period start and when does it end? Obviously, it starts, according to the Islamic scholars, from the time a person becomes baligh, some say around 14, some say 15, up to the age of 30. And in that period, when we are passing there, then this person has got a great amount of youthfulness, exuberance. He's got a lot of energy, untapped energy. And it is such an important period, you will find, that even in the hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, reference is made that when a person is going to be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, then Allah ta'ala is going to take out this period of his life and ask him, that one is, where did you spend your life? And the second question is, how did you spend your youth? Because at that time, a person has got this sense about himself, you know, almost bordering on the insane, that I am in charge, I control the world, I can do what I want to do. They've got this daring inside them, they've got this sense of adventure, that you know what we can do, nobody can block us, nobody can be like me. We always want to be at the top of everything, which are all good qualities, mashallah. But if it is misdirected, then you can have a missile that can do good, and you can have a missile that can do harm also. So we need to know that how can this energy and how can this asset of this youth, as we refer to it, be guided and channeled in the correct avenues, so that communities and the ummah and humanity at large can actually benefit. It is there. Now, one is, alhamdulillah, we as parents, do a lot for our children. The first phase when they are children, when they are infants and then in childhood and all the rest of that when they are growing up, we do a lot for them, mashallah. But somewhere along the line, this realization has to come in the youth themselves that without us actually telling them, because many times they take offense, they get cross when they are questioned by their parents, for example, that why are you keeping friendship there? Why are you going there? Why are you not performing salah? Have you performed? Oh, they get very, very cross. You're still asking me, I'm not a child anymore. You mustn't ask me all these things. Yes, we must not ask you. By now, you are supposed to have developed your own link with Allah Ta'ala. You are by now supposed to have developed a realization that I'm not on the face of this earth just to pass my time. I've got a life which is valuable, and now I am passing through that most valuable stage of my life, through which what I can do now, I will not be able to do later on. I have got a certain amount of freedom, and I have got a certain amount of energy, which afterwards I'm not going to have. What I can do now, later on, I will not be able to do. I will maybe be overtaken by such activities, as a result of which I will not be able to realize my full potential and put it to good use. So obviously, they cannot be lectured all the time. Yes, they can be advised, mashallah. They can be told about things. But that is the wrong attitude of the youth if they are told by their parents or if they are questioned with regard to the friends they keep the activities getting up to or with regard to having discharged the religious obligations for them to become angry. It is not correct. So they must put that thing right. Nevertheless, my respected friends and brothers, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take out that area and that phase of a person's life and question him. As youth, we need to ask ourselves, what jawab, what answer am I going to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will I be able to answer favorably or will I be in trouble with Allah ta'ala? That's the first realization anyone that is going through the period of youth needs to reflect upon and ask himself how he's going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He needs to be aware of himself. Also, we find there's another very good virtue mentioned in the hadith. We've heard it many times. I'm just going to talk on that. Just on that part of it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says there are going to be seven people that are going to be in the special shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And one of them is that youth, that young person who nasha'a fi ibadatillah. He spent his youth and his growth in that period in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a broad word in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will say it. He spent his youth in constructive and productive activities in the obedience of Allah and in trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the upliftment of himself and humanity at large for the betterment of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how he spent his youth. He was the cause of a lot of people benefiting, like we spoke last week of how productive a person can be. He must not be lazy. So this youth, how he has changed and touched the lives of those people who are probably lost. How he got people linked up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the realization the youth are supposed to have. They are supposed to have this. I'm saying they because now we are all, you know, we are in the old, what is the old baji category now. Other than somebody was saying, we are bajis. We're talking now to the youth and we're specifically referring to your heart and we're referring to your future, mashallah. That how am I going to answer to Allah Ta'ala and one day when I reach the baji category, the old people's category, then I can look back and say, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala accept, but I was involved in this activity, and that today that institution and that movement, whatever it is, I was one of the little roots. Not conceitedly, obviously, but I was one of the people who did something, alhamdulillah, when look back. And obviously, once a person is in a qabr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show him the level of acceptance. So my respected friends and brothers, the starting point, therefore, should be for our youth, who have got this energy and this exuberance, and who want to use it somewhere, but they don't know where. They should first go to the concept of self-realization. Like I say, one is they get long bayans from their parents. But one is it must come from within themselves. Or what is called self-actualization. Pondering on themselves that who am I? What am I going through? Why am I here? Where am I going from here? What am I supposed to be doing? So if these questions are repeatedly asked, and then a sense of guilt can also overtake such a person, which is good. That I don't even know why I am here. A lot of youth at the age of 17, 18, you ask them, what do you want to do? I still haven't decided. 17, 18, you still haven't decided. Maybe a quarter of your life has already gone, or half of your life has gone. Only Allah knows how long you're going to live. But you have no direction still. So from a very young age, parents are supposed to give them direction, but they themselves are supposed to have this realization, I need to do something with myself in relation to my relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and my link to Allah, and number two is for humanity at large. That. So this self-realization comes when they ponder on themselves. And the first thing is that when a person starts pondering, he comes to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created me for a purpose. When he recognizes himself and the potential that he has got within himself of reaching such heights which are unimaginable under normal circumstances, when he knows that he has got some capabilities within him and that he has got talents which he can actually untap and bring out, and he can do something for humanity, subhanallah, this man is on the straight path. But it all starts with the what? Realization that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created me for a purpose. And you know, 2 weeks ago we spoke about the people of Kahf, the Ashabul Kahf. Who are those? Those are not elderly people. Innahum fityatun. Those were youth, they were young people. And where did their life and their journey start from? Amanu bi rabbihim. They had brought iman on their Rabb. They were living in such royalty, but they realized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. And from that point onwards, they said, Rabbuna Rabbus Samawati wal Ard. Our Rabb, our sustainer, is the sustainer of the heavens and the earth. Ha'ulai qawmun attakhadhu min dunihi aliha. This people of ours, our community, have taken someone else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their leader, as their deity, as the object of worship. So the realization came that no, we are not supposed to be there. When this realization comes, a person not only starts looking for ways of how to come closer to Allah, but he also starts realizing his own weaknesses and his own good qualities. Characteristics, habits, good qualities, praiseworthy attributes, and also the opposite. He comes to realize, you know, bad qualities, base qualities as we refer to them. And when a person knows that within himself, he will then use the good qualities to come closer to Allah, to benefit people, and he will make an effort to treat and get himself free of all the bad qualities. That is why it is a saying, Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu. He who recognizes himself has recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once he gets this recognition and this self-realization, you know, you study psychology and that you find all these fellows, Carl Rogers and Maslow, Abraham Maslow, all these people talking about this, but that's from a kuffar point of view. From the Quranic point of view, the first thing is their iman is something that is supposed to link them up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahum fityatun amanu bi rabbihim. Once they realize this, they link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all the qualities that are good will take them forward. All the talents that are there, they will use them for a good cause. All the bad qualities that are there, they are going to try and remove them and take them away, because they will not want to be from among those people that are going to be harming other people. So my respected brothers, the aspect of character development then comes in, and that is what they have to make an effort for. Thereafter we find that it should be within the youth to ask themselves how valuable is their time and how valuable is their youthfulness and how much more value they can add to it. If you look at an incident in the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and why I'm saying this is because they have kind of, you know, set aside periods of their daily life where they will waste and while away time which could rather be put to good use to develop themselves. So there was a group of youth in the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Malik ibn al-Huwayrith. He says, we were a group of young people and we decided, let us go and spend some time in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now that realization that came there, that's what we are talking here. Nobody must force us to go out here and go and spend time in the path of Allah, or must go and go in somewhere. No, it must come. He says, we realize we need to go spend some time So from far they came. They formed a group, a jamaat, and they came and they said, we spent 20 days in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was not idle days. They watched the actions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They heard his advices. They questioned him. They learned a lot of things. Then he says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at us and realized we're now missing home. That's what happens to the youth. They miss home after a while. Mommy is cooking or whatever comforts it might be, they miss it. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now you want to go back home? So he said, yes, I want to go home. See, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, look, you people were here, now you must go back home. Whatever you have learned here, teach it to the other people. When the time for salah comes, then you must call out the adhan, and the eldest amongst you must make jamaat. He must lead the people in salah. So here we find a group of people came, and they went back, and they became a force of leadership in their community as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had guided them. So that is the realization we are talking about. We hear the very famous story of Hazrat Hanzala, Ghasilul Malaika. Ghasil was washed by the Malaika. That's a different incident. But he was a young man, my respected friends and brothers. One day he's sitting in his house and suddenly he just gets all upset and he starts saying things like, I have become a munafiq. Why? He says, because when I'm sitting with my family, I'm not thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A young man, when he gets married, young people get married, mashallah, at a good young age. And those people got married much younger than the time that we are getting married at. And when the nikah takes place, when it is his first night, the call is made to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the honor of deen. He didn't say, I'm on honeymoon, or it's just my first night. He leaves everything and he goes. What was that spirit of enthusiasm and sacrifice that he used to go forward that he became martyred? That the malaika had to come and give him ghusl because he was still in the state of janaba. So there is another example we have, my respected friends and brothers, with regard to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. And we can go down. We're going to look at the incident of Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was also from among the young people. And how history describes him, from the rich young people. And who wore the best of clothing. And who used the most expensive and exotic of perfumes when he used to be in Medina Munawwara. He was, you know, an icon of good clothing, of style, of fashion, of everything that depicted and symbolized, you know, style at that time. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, young man. But when he came in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that same realization came, that this is not what my life is supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be chasing after these things. I'm not going to go anywhere with these things. I need to do something with my life. And he was later on appointed as the first ustad in the madrasa of Medina Munawwara, just before the hijrah took place. Again, the same realization. So we can give a lot of examples. We say Muhammad bin Qasim al-Thaqafi, rahimahullah, who was the person responsible for bringing Islam to India and Pakistan. Most of us, if we have to trace where our Islam came from, he's going to go there. Where he entered the port of Sindh from into Pakistan when he came there. A lot of people should say when Nazam came out, you know, the Afia Siddiqui, what is this line here? Bin Qasim Tukab Ayega. Who's this Bin Qasim? It's just Muhammad bin Qasim. Muhammad bin Qasim was an orphan. His mother brought him up and taught him Islamic knowledge. And thereafter, his uncle, who was known as the worst tyrant, obviously, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, took him in his care. But tyrant he was, but he gave him good upbringing, trained him in administration, trained him in military warfare and these type of things, in strategy, and then made him the governor of an area in Persia which is called Fars. And when the call came out that the Muslim prisoners have been captured by Raja Zahir, at that time, we need someone to go and release them. And who did they call upon? Muhammad bin Qasim. He was a nephew of Hajjaj, and he was also his son-in-law. He got married to Hajjaj's daughter. But that is, we all know. What was his age? He was 17 years old. So when did he get married? And the father-in-law is sending him now on a mission. And subhanallah. So what capabilities he had? What instruction did his mother give him at young age that he had such beautiful qualities as a leader and as a ruler that whenever he entered the various villages and cities of India, he was welcomed. And also parts of Pakistan, he was welcomed. The word spread that this is a good general. This is a kind person. This is a benevolent person. This man does not take advantage of those people that he captures and the places where he conquers. Everybody accepted him with open arms. So those qualities, my respected friends and brothers, were in him as a youth. I'm talking 17 years old. So the same thing we are saying. Our youth know, they must know that they have got the same qualities. Each one present here is a Muhammad bin Qasim. We conclude. When the hijrah takes place, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam needs to move from Mecca to Medina, the most dangerous journey and the most crucial journey in the history of Islam, because Islam is now going to move from Mecca to Medina. The capital is going to be started there. Islam is going to go on to a totally different level as from now. But the most important thing is that the head of the Islamic mission, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, needs to move there. Allah Ta'ala obviously was going to protect him. But look at the youth, they took it upon themselves at that time to ensure that this move takes place with a great amount of secrecy and strategy, as well as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is protected. There are four youth that I mentioned there. One, we know the story of Sayyidina Ali ibn Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was prepared to die. So he said, I'm going to sleep in the bed of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the realization that this mission is so important. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to reach Medina. So if I have to die in the process, I'm going to give my life. I'm giving that sacrifice. Because the whole of Islam is going to be thereafter dependent on this move. Amir ibn Fuhaira was one of the slaves of that time. Young man also. It is said that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr went into the cave, he used to come every day, or he came there and he came with his sheep. And he made them graze in that area, so that any footprints that were left by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr, you know, they were totally wiped out. Because the Arabs were very, very good. They were masters in this science of tracking footprints. And they were looking very, very hard for him, because 100 camels, you understand, like maybe 100 BMs for catching Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our terminology. So we find that Amir bin Fuhaira, a young man, said, I'm going to do this. Then we have Muhammad bin Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He used to hold a walk around Medina, young man. Pick up all the intelligence, who's saying what, and where the search party's gone, and what is happening, and how far they've gone, looking for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's to come and report. He had to do it very, very smartly and shrewdly, because the people were watching him also, and the news had to be given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have Asma bint Abu Bakr, it's a lady, young lady. Her job was to bring food every day for them in that cave. She did it also very, very smartly, like a peasant woman just walking around with some food. And then she had to smuggle the food and the water to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. These were young people who had the realization that we have to be involved in this mission at this point in time. And we find that they also, and once she had to actually tear her, what we call the orni, the scarf. She had to tear it because she was carrying that food and she had nothing else to tie it up. And when she came and gave it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw it. He said, you throw up your scarf, your shawl, your sesh. For us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you something much better in Jannah. He gave her a dua at that time. So my respected friends and brothers, incidents are many. What we are appealing to our youth, realize that you have got a great, great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of youthfulness. Realize your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ask yourself, in which field can I spend my energies, expend my youth, for the upliftment of deen, for the upliftment of the ummah, for the upliftment of humanity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa ma'ana.